our text together from the Word of God. Then we'll do our best to bring the message the Lord has laid upon our heart for today. Amen. Well, I kind of marvel at the Sunday school hour this morning, as well as the songs that we've sang. All the music, basically, either directly or indirectly dealing with what I'm going to be preaching on this morning, all of them in some way or another dealt with what I'm going to be dealing with here in the preacher's hour this morning. I ask you to pray for us. We're looking forward to when the Lord gives the okay to get moving in the book of Hosea, and as well as get into the book of Jude. I started in Jude once and backed out on it. I'm going to pick up from the very beginning, Lord being my helper, and start all over again and plow right on through the end of it. Just one chapter in that little book, and it oughtn't to take us over 3 or 4 years to get through it, I think. And Jesus may come by the time we get that done. And I'm sure He'll come before we get done with Hosea. And well, we might get done with it quicker than I think, because I might not be able to handle it, but I'm going to try to handle it, Lord being my helper. Amen. And we're going to finish up the book of 1 John. We've been plowing right through it verse upon verse for quite some time. We're going to continue that. We'll be finishing, on Lord willing, chapter number 2. We'll close it out, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. But right now, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter number 2. And we're going to read verse number 28 together. And then we'll read it again after I pray, or I'll read it again after I pray. And then we'll bring the message the Lord has laid on our heart for the day. Okay? He said in verse number 28 of chapter 2, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. And let's pray together. Our Father, I'm so grateful this morning for the Sunday school hour and the song service and the fellowship that I've enjoyed with Your people. I thank You, Lord, for Your divine presence and the power that You grant us to stand and preach the Word of God. And thank You, Lord, for Your people that are faithful to be here and be in their place and, Lord, do their best to take the Word of God and receive it and let it find a place of lodging in their heart to be fruitful unto Thee. I pray now You would bless me as I stand this morning. I need great liberty. You said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I need unction. I need, Lord, the Holy Ghost. For without You, I can do nothing. I pray You'll save sinners unto the uttermost today. And Father, that You'll bless and help the people of God, help those that are sick. I do pray, Lord, for the Rickard family this morning, their grief and their sorrow, that You'd help them, give them the grace that they need during this time. Bless now in the preaching service in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse number 28, the Bible said, "And now, little children, abide in Him. When He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now, I want to preach on this verse a little while this morning, if God will help me, to give you kind of an overlay of the verse, and then I want to go back and recap some of the things that John has been dealing with in the context of this verse, and then I'll bring the application that God has given me, 3 little points of application the Lord has given me for this passage of Scripture. But he says, "And now, little children," not tomorrow, but now, little children. That means right now, without delay, and now. And the term little children here, it did refer to those that were just babies in Christ in earlier verses in this chapter. But here it's all inclusive of God's children. John is writing to all of God's children. "And now, little children," he says, "abide in Me." Now, a little later on, I'm going to tell you the difference of abiding in Christ and being in Christ. And there is a difference, and I'll point that out. But he said about Him, "And we abide in Him for this reason, that when He shall appear, that we may have confidence." That we may have confidence and not be ashamed or not be embarrassed at His coming. And notice that we may have confidence and not be ashamed at His coming. And in order to have that confidence, and in order that we'll not be ashamed at His coming, then we must abide in Him. Amen. And so I want to preach for a little while on this thought, and I think you'll get the idea here in just a minute. I want to preach on this thought, the blessing of being steadfast. Amen. The blessing of being steadfast. Be ye steadfast, Paul said. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's almost the same thing as saying, and now, little children, abide in Him. And so I want to preach on that for a little while, the blessing of being steadfast. But I want to go back and recap. You know, we're leaky vessels. And for a few minutes, I want to go back and just recap a few things that John has said, bringing us up to this important verse of Scripture about remaining steadfast or being steadfast in the Lord. If you remember, I told you that he warned professing Christians against false teachers who desire to corrupt and lead them astray. We find that in verses 18, 19, and verse number 22. And the devil will do that. He will plant false teachers among us today, as Brother Steve pointed out in Sunday school, as there were false prophets in the Old Testament. There were many false prophets in that day, and there are many false teachers in this day. And they creep in, like Brother Steve said, they creep in unawares. That makes them creeps. And they've crept in unawares, so that makes them creep. And their motive for creeping in that way is that they might corrupt doctrine in the church and lead people astray. You know, Paul talked about in the book of Timothy about leading silly women astray and not saying anything against you women. But I'll be quite honest with you, the woman is more gullible than the man. That's proven by the instance in the garden. It was Eve that was deceived by the devil and not Adam. Adam sinned against God with his eyes wide open, but Eve was deceived by the devil. And women are primarily ones that are deceived by the devil. And I want to say this to you. I've always found that behind every wimp, there's a woman. Now, you can smile about that. But behind every man that raises up his head contrary to sound doctrine, there is generally a woman in his life that is motivating him somewhere along the line. They're called alpha wolves by Brother Hanley Milby. And there are alpha females and there are alpha male wolves in the church. And I personally believe there's some in every church that God has started. In every God-called church, you mark it down, there are wolves in there, and they're there for one purpose, that they might corrupt the doctrine of the church and lead people into error and fallacy. Now, they might not get you out of church, but I'll tell you what it'll do. It will rob you of some of the greatest blessings of being saved. People that fail to walk in truth and know the truth are missing some of the greatest blessings that God has for them because they're walking in error, and God does not bless a lie. God does not bless error. God does not bless falsehood. God blesses the truth. You can just mark that down. And then he had exhorted the saints to hold fast the beginning of their confidence, steadfast unto the end. That's in verse number 24. And what a blessing that is, that he's exhorting God's people to remain steadfast, to hold their confidence steadfast unto the end. Don't wobble on the axle. Paul said, that which you have heard and been taught of me, continue therein. That's basically what John is saying here, that the truth that you have heard, continue therein. Don't wobble on the axle. Remain steadfast. We got so many Christians that are wobbling. I mean, if things are going well in the family, things are going well with them spiritually. Or if things is going well on the job, or if the money's coming in all right, things go well with them spiritually. But if a little trouble comes their way, they begin to wobble on the axle. It is not supposed to be that way. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to remain steadfast in the Lord regardless of the troubles and trials and tribulations and sorrows and heartaches and griefs that we bear. In fact, Paul told his one church that through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. And if you think you're going to get there on a bed of roses, I'm afraid you have missed the boat. It's not all a bed of roses. We're in a battlefield, not a recreation room. We're in a fight and not a game. We're not playing games. We're in a real fight, and it is a spiritual fight that we must put on all the armor of God and fight this spiritual warfare. Amen. And remain steadfast, or we're going to fall prey to false doctrine. Amen. And be led away with false doctrine and miss some of the greatest things. By the way, it may lead some folks shipwrecked. It may destroy others, I'll tell you, but one way or the other, it will trouble you in your life if you're led away by false doctrine. He wants us to remain steadfast. And then he reminded them of their great and glorious promise given for their encouragement. That's in verse number 25. And this is the promise that he has promised you, even eternal life. Hallelujah to God. What an encouragement. John here encouraging his people that they have eternal life. May I say that's the only life that God gives? God is the all-eternal one. There never was a time when God wasn't. Never shall be a time that God is not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. God is just God, ladies and gentlemen, if I can say it that way. And His life is eternal life. And He gave His life that we might have life. Therefore, the life that He gives must be an eternal life. And a man that will tell you that you can lose what God has done is a false prophet or a false teacher of the Word of God. Amen. Thank God. This is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. And I believe it's in Titus that he said, God who promised, who God who cannot lie, hath promised us eternal life, even from the foundation of the world. Bless His wonderful and holy name. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. I'm on my way, praise God, to the glory land. Amen. I'm getting ready to cross over the river and head to the glory world. There's a land that is fairer than day. And praise God, by faith, I see it afar. I've set my affections upon it. My heart is fixed. I shall not be moved. Amen to God. I'm going on with God by His marvelous grace. Now, stay right with me. He assured the regenerate that the anointing which they had received of Christ. And here's where it comes into play on what I'm preaching on. But he assured the regenerate that the anointing which they had received of Christ was no mere temporary benefit, but it would remain in them as an incorruptible principle of life and light, supplying them with such spiritual discernment as no human teaching could impart. May I say, thank God, and I'm going to say something here in a minute, probably a hair let some folks are listening, but thank God for the Holy Ghost. God has given us an anointing. God has given us an unction. And that unction is the Holy Ghost. He said, hey, and by the way, He is not only your internal teacher, He is your eternal teacher. Amen. He knows the way of God. He's been that way before. Thank God for men that stand and teach the Word of God. But the greatest teacher we have is the Holy Ghost that God has given you and I. Amen. Thank God He's that eternal and internal teacher. Now, having said that, the general design of God for the gift and teaching of the Spirit is to provide believers, with such as needed for remaining steadfast in Christ. Amen. That is the teaching of the Holy Ghost. He teaches us the Bible, amen, the truth of the Bible, that we might remain steadfast in Christ. Amen. No wobbling on the axle. Nobody is weak as branch water, but remaining steadfast in Christ. Like a soldier going to war, we proudly square our shoulders back,
put on the armor of God and wade out into the battle, knowing that there is a God that shall go before us. Amen. As God blazed the trail across the Red Sea and through the wilderness, over Jordan and into the promised land, mark my word down that God Almighty will also lead you and I across that same spiritual Red Sea, through that wilderness, across that Jordan River, and over into the promised land. Praise God. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down, and I'm glad of it, and the Holy Ghost will see that I arrive.
Amen. Amen. That's right. He will supply all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You better believe that He will. Amen. Now, the Holy Ghost is that great teacher that teaches us those things that will keep us steadfast in Christ. Now, notice two or three things very quickly. I'm trying to get into the message. The Spirit teaches us to give our love unto and delight in the things that are taught. My goodness. Now, did you get a hold of that? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost teaches us, ladies and gentlemen, to give our love and our delight to those things that are taught. I'm telling you, we are to delight in the Word of God. Delight thyself. Hey, delight thyself in the Lord. David said in Psalm 37, delight thyself in the Lord also, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Somebody said, well, my desire is for this. Well, do you delight in the Lord? Do you delight in those things that you're taught? Do you delight in the Bible? In the light and the love and the grace and the mercy that God has taught you and given you? Do we really delight ourselves in that? You think God is a liar? He said, delight thyself in that book, and God would give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, that which is done merely from conviction of conscience, just our conscience, without any gladness of heart, will neither be acceptable to God, neither will it be made constant in us, or neither will it be consistent in you and I. If what we do only out of conviction. I'm telling you, our preachers run that in the ground. This is my conviction. This is my conviction. This is my conviction. Thank God for convictions. But I'm telling you, if those convictions are not performed with a glad and a happy heart about it, amen. They don't do God one thing. They do no pleasure at all for God. Somebody said, well, I throwed out my television and I wish I had it back. You might as well go get it. Amen. Well, I quit smoking, but I wish I could. Oh, well, you might as well go pass. Amen. Amen. What I'm saying, hey, well, I give up my pants and put on a dress, but I'd rather be wearing breeches. Go put them on. You're not pleasing God. Right. If our convictions are not gathered together with a joyful spirit and a glad heart about what we're doing, they will not benefit us a bit, and it will not and cannot please God and will not be acceptable to God. It must be done out of a glad and a happy and a joyful spirit. You know why? Because we know doing it pleases Him. And it should be our delight and our joy to please Him. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I want to please Him, don't you? I'm not worried about pleasing man. Paul said in the book of Galatians, if he pleased man, he could not please God. And we can. If you want to please man, you'll never please God. Amen. Thank God. That's right. Now, notice quickly. Trying to get there. The Spirit teaches us. Boy, I like this. I hope some people are listening. The Spirit teaches us to deny the carnal tendency of idolizing the human instrument. The Spirit's teaching does. Amen. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say. There's a great danger of this. Young believers especially are apt to think highly of those who were made a blessing to their soul. And there's nothing wrong with thanking somebody that has been a blessing to you in preaching the Word of God.
But listen to what I'm getting ready to say next. Listen very carefully. It's a great danger. Hey, the young believers, they may get caught up in this thing. And those that think too highly of those who have been a blessing to their soul, where the affections be fixed upon the messenger rather than upon the message itself, there the teacher comes between the heart and Christ. Amen. How many of you come to church this morning saying, "Boy, I hope the preacher has got a blessing for us today"? Preacher can't bless you. I don't have any blessing. You're looking at the wrong blesser. If you come to church with the idea and the notion, "I'm going to see what the man of God will say today, that'll be a blessing to my soul," I'm going to tell you, that comes between your heart and Christ. If you're looking at the man rather than looking at the message and looking at Christ, you've got problems this morning. Amen. I don't want you to see Brother Hall. I want you to see Christ high and lifted up. May His glory fill that place. Hallelujah to God. And draw our thoughts and our attention to Him and not on the man standing behind the pulpit. God, preachers all over the country today that stand behind the pulpit that won all the attention. And they're idolized by many people. And that comes between the heart of the people and Christ. I wonder how many people come here today looking for a blessing from Jesus rather than from the preacher. And you base what goes on how the preacher preached, how much he jumped up and down. Did he get loud? Did he really flip and twist and flop and jump pews and carry on? Did he run the aisle? Did he shout? Or did you come today to hear from heaven?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I've heard some good preaching before. But the greatest thing that I've ever heard was a message from the glory world. When the Holy Ghost, God's great teacher, spoke to my heart about being saved, spoke to my heart about being called to preach, spoke to my heart about trying to live right and dress right and be right for the glory of God, laying sin aside and trying to be holy for the glory of God. That's the greatest message I've ever heard. And didn't come from no preacher. It came from the glory world. Now stay right with me. Stay right with me. The Spirit's teaching produces a permanent, stabilizing effect, preserving from dangerous error. I want to read that again. The Spirit's teaching produces a permanent, stabilizing effect, preserving from dangerous error. He so instructs and establishes in the faith, imparts such a spirit of truth from falsehood, that it is impossible for Satan to deceive the saved. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, I don't believe that." Is that right? Won't you read Matthew 24:24? See what it says. He would deceive even the very elect if it were possible. But I'm telling you, it's not possible, and it's impossible. Because we have an unction from the Holy One. We've got a teacher on the inside that although some man on the outside may lead us in a false way, our real teacher on the inside will always lead us in the right way. Hallelujah to God. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost that stabilizes you and I in this world. Through the teaching that He bids our heart. Amen. And not the exterior man. He's not an external teacher. He's an internal teacher. And an eternal teacher. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything at all? I hope. Now notice very carefully. He not only illumines the mind, and the Spirit does do that, for right thinking. But He sanctifies the heart. He makes the heart holy that it might receive truth. Somebody said, "You're not preaching that verse of Scripture. Why ain't I? Now, little children, abide in Him." Can you abide in something that's false and not be in truth? Oh, no. Now, listen very carefully. And He also turns the will toward God.
Amen.
He illumines the mind. He sanctifies the heart. And He turns our will toward God through what, Brother Hall? Through the teaching. Through the unction. Amen. We have an unction from the Holy One. Amen. We have an anointing from the Holy One. Amen. That instructs and teaches us in righteousness and in truth. That we be not led about with every wind of doctrine. Led astray with every wind of doctrine. Amen. Now, the regenerate now has the spiritual ability to distinguish between what is wholesome and what is poisonous. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. We ought to have enough sense to know right from wrong. We ought to have enough sense to know what's wholesome in life and what is not wholesome. I'm going to tell you, things are getting plumb out of... Come on now. Things are getting plumb out of kelter in America. Righteousness and holiness is no longer sought in America. But what bothers me, unrighteousness and ungodliness is embraced by people in the church as something being good. I mean, kids can have children out of wedlock and there ain't a thing wrong with that anymore. Come on now. They can get pregnant, shack up, live together. There ain't nothing wrong with that anymore. You might as well say amen. Now I tell you, we can mix marriage and twin up, whatever we want to do, and nothing is wrong with that. I'm telling you, the Bible said it's a sin, and the Holy Ghost has taught my heart that truth, and I will not budge from that truth in the Bible. I'm not going to run around bragging about sin. Amen. Drinking and hobnobbing. I don't see how people can sit on church pews and listen to preaching, get out and hobnob, cruise around down here around the mall, listening to rock and roll music or country and western music, and sit on the church pews and never do anything about it. Somebody said, well, I just don't like to sit there. Maybe you're lost and God's trying to get your attention, buckwheat. Somebody said, well, I'm a little angry at what's going on. Maybe the Holy Ghost is trying to get your attention. Amen. He will teach you in the right way. And the first place He'll carry you to is Calvary. Thank God, Calvary will make a difference. Calvary will open up your eyes. Amen. Calvary will open up your eyes to the truth. Amen to God. Hallelujah. I guarantee you'll see sin a little differently. I'm not treating it like a cream puff. A lot of folks want to take sin and treat it like a cream puff. But you, no man can take fire in his bosom and not get burned. You can't run across a bed of coals without burning your feet, ladies and gentlemen. You can't sweep all the sin up under the rug. It'll show a knot one of these days. Amen. Now I'm telling you, I've walked it down through the years. People can play church. Play games with God for a long time, but it won't be long till it'll start troubling them, nettle them such a way, and they might get bitter, they might get mad, upset, fuss with their spouse, fuss with everybody else. Amen to God. And the only thing wrong is God's troubling their soul and trying to awaken them to the fact of where they are. Amen. Sometimes folks have to get mad before they ever get glad again. But I'm telling you, they'll either get right down the road or they'll go out the door. I've seen it happen too many times. They'll either get saved or they'll go out the door, one of the two. Amen to God. Hallelujah. I've never gotten mad at a preacher for preaching truth to me. When I sucked cigarettes and he preached against smoking, I never did get mad. I said amen. I've heard preachers get up and say, how can you say amen when you're guilty? I've heard preachers preach that. I don't know, but I did. Now, when I had television, they preached against TV, I said, amen. Amen. Because it was right. Amen. One day, God gave me enough grace to get rid of both of them. Amen. When they started preaching women ought to wear dresses, me and my wife said, amen. Amen. You know what she did? Went and bought some dresses and threw her britches away. Amen. Amen. Threw my cigarettes away. Hallelujah to God. Took the money I spent on cigarettes and bought some suits. I don't know how anybody affords it today. Why somebody want to pay somebody to kill them?
Hard for folks to learn. Oh, well. Go on, Brother Hall. Go on now. These great truths lead us to verse number 28, where John says, "And now, little children, abide in Him." This abiding produces such a confidence that we shall not be ashamed at His coming. Can I just bring this down in good old country Kentucky vernacular? We can't run around in sin and not be ashamed at His coming. We can't hobnob with the world and not be ashamed at His coming. We're going to have to abide in Him, or we will be ashamed at His coming. We'll blush at His coming. We'll bow our heads at His coming. We'll not be able to look Him in the eye. You know how it is when somebody has offended you and come to you, they can't look you in the eye. Do you think you can look God in the eye when you've offended Him? You can't look Him in the eye. Amen. No way, shape, form, or fashion can you look Him in the eye. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Come on now, some of y'all help me. Is there anybody in here right? If there is, you ought to be helping me a little bit. Amen. Now, notice this. I want to clarify this. Unlike being in Christ, the abiding in Christ, or the abiding, is capable of interruption. Being in Him gives reference to a union which cannot be disannulled. It refers to a standing which cannot be shaken. But abide in me implies that we are exposed to failure at this point. In other words, it falls down to fellowship, basically. Our fellowship can't be interrupted. Our salvation cannot be. If you're in Christ, you're eternally saved. But why in the world would somebody want to be eternally saved and meet Him and blush and be ashamed at the life that they've lived? I'd rather chunk it all aside. Hey, amen to God. Get fairly right with God that I might not be ashamed at His coming. That with confidence, ladies and gentlemen, I can face Him eyeball to eyeball at His coming. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, it is a word. Abiding is a word that calls us to vigilance. It calls us to diligence. We must be vigilant and diligent. Can't be laid back. Buddy, I mean, hey, we got to be pressing toward the mark. Amen. And by the way, it calls for works and labor. We're not saved by works and labor. But abiding in Christ, you're not abiding in Christ if you're slothful in His service. I want to ask you something. If you had enough money to hire a servant or a maid in your house, and they did around your house what you do around God's house, how long would you pay them? Boy, that got to, I see the car, I see the wheels are turning on that one. What would we really do with them? I'm going to tell you what you'd do. You'd boot them out the door. Some of you men that's got your own business. If you had a fella, hired a fella, all he wanted to do was go over and sit down under a shade tree and drink iced tea all day long, how long would you keep that guy on the payroll? Right. He wouldn't last very long, would he? If you had a guy on the payroll, or a servant or a maid, and you said, do this or do that, and they looked at you and went, how long would they be there? Somebody said, preacher, that's kind of crude. It may be crude, but it's real. Amen. Same thing with God. We cannot turn up our noses to God and expect to be unashamed at His coming. Right. Amen. It calls for diligent, vigilant work and labor. If we're abiding in Him, it calls for prayer. It calls for Bible reading. It calls for worship. It calls for fellowship. It calls for praise if we're going to abide in Him. He said in John 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's confidence, ladies and gentlemen. That's confidence. Amen. Now, so our abiding, while we are abiding in Christ,
is insured by the grace of the Spirit, it does not release us from the discharge of our accountability. We will be accountable to God. We will be. Grace will see to it you make it. But it does not relieve us of the responsibility nor the accountability of man. We will be accountable to Him. So our abiding in Christ blesses us with a life that is both steadfast and sure. Amen. Now what does that do? I've got three little points and I'm done. What does that steadfastness do? If we have that confidence, if we are abiding in Him, we shall never fall. What a blessing. I said never fall. Somebody said, oh, everybody falls. I said we shall never fall. When our fellowship is broken, we're not abiding in Him. That's when we fall. And I'm going to tell you something. If we're walking in His light, we're walking in the light as He is in the light, there is none occasion of stumbling in us. That's the Bible. I didn't make that up. That's the Word of God. Now listen carefully. Hey. Peter is talking about adding to your faith. Talking about giving all diligence. He says, giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Giving all diligence. That's what I'm talking about. Abiding in Christ. Being diligent. Being vigilant. Being steadfast. He says, giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Beside this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith. And he lists a whole number of things. Virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and God and brotherly kindness and charity. All these things are listed there. And then he turns around in verse number 10 and said, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Is that Bible or not? He said, if you do these things that I just mentioned, ye shall never fall. But unless we are diligent in this, unless we're steadfast in there, there's always a possibility of falling. Every time my phone rings, I scrimmage when the preacher says hello. Wondering who might be on that, telling me on the other end of the line that another one has failed and went by the wayside. I'm going to tell you what happens. They fail to give all diligence to make their calling and election sure. They're not steadfast. They're unstable as water. They're like Reuben. They're like Jell-O. Pretty solid when it's in the refrigerator. Let it set out a little while. She soon turned back to liquid. Now, I'm afraid that's the way a lot of Baptists are. They get gelled for a while, but by and by, they're liquid again. They're liquefied. Amen. Come on now. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
We shall never fall because our calling and election is sure.
Amen.
If we do these things, ye shall never fall. Number two, because of the counsel and instruction that we're given. Remember, I said the Holy Ghost is our teacher. The wisest man that lived beside the Lord said in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, I'm going to tell you, the greatest counsel you can get is from the Holy Ghost. Thank God you sit and listen to me preach. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is your counselor. He is your guide. Amen. He is your companion, amen. He's your comforter. He's one called alongside to help. He's your strength and your power that you need. Is anybody listening? You won't fall if you listen to what the Holy Ghost tells me. I'm going to tell you what happens, though. Holy Ghost will whisper in somebody's heart, and they'll begin to sound like a billy goat. They begin to put a lot of buts in there. But this and but that. But this and but that. But you don't understand. God don't love me no more. Who told you that stupid nonsense? I've had people to tell me that. I've been out here in the world and had people tell me that. Oh, Bert, you don't understand. God just don't love me anymore. Who told them that?
Amen.
That God don't love them anymore. Well, God wouldn't treat me the way He does if God loves me. Tell that to Job.
Amen.
Tell that to Lazarus that sat at the gate begging.
Amen.
Tell that to the widow who lost her son in the city of Nain. Tell that to the woman that was gathering two sticks to make a little bread and drink a little water and die, her and her boy.
Amen.
Tell that to the widow whose son died and Elijah brought back from the dead.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Tell that to Elijah that got so discouraged. He sat out under a juniper tree and fell asleep on God and said, "I quit, it's enough, let me die."
Amen.
God was so merciful, He sent an angel with food and water twice.
Amen.
Tell that to Elijah. That God don't love you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Tell that to Joseph that went through all his troubles. His brothers turned on him. Throwed him in a pit. Was carried off down into Egypt. Sold in the slave market. Potiphar bought him.
Amen.
And Potiphar's wife set her eyes on him and he got put in the prison house.
Yep.
I'm fixing to show you something right here. Somebody said, "He sure went through a lot." Yeah, he did, but he was exalted to the governor of the land.
Amen.
And if you read through the book of Hebrews 11, he said, "And Joseph give commandment concerning his bones."
Amen.
Praise God, he died with hope.
Amen.
That his bones would be carried back to the promised land.
Yes.
Son, he was steadfast unto the end. Somebody said, "He never dwelt in the land." Honey, He's in the land today. Hallelujah to God. And He is because He was steadfast in God. That's right. He's in the land today. His bones may be buried somewhere in Canaan, but His spirit and soul is in a glory world. Hallelujah. Just waiting for the trumpet to sound. He's going to be in that cloud coming back. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll be riding a white horse with the rest of us when we come back in the book of the Revelation. Don't tell me what. He was steadfast against all adversity. He was steadfast in the Lord. Amen. Then we'll never fall because of Christ's mighty power. I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. And it sounds weird in its beginning, Romans 14:4. "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?" Let me ask you, let me stop right there. That's a question mark. Whose servant are you?
Amen.
Whose servant are you? Well, I hope we're God's servant.
Amen.
I hope we're all God's servants.
Yep.
Well, who judges another man's servant? Who's going to judge God's servant? May I read the rest of that verse? "To his own master,
Amen.
He standeth or falleth." To his own master. But hallelujah, he says, "Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand." Woo! That makes me run my head through a wall. To his own servant, to his own master, a servant will stand or fall. Brethren, I don't know about you, but it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. So we either stand or we fall by the Lord. And Paul said, "He is able to make us stand. He shall be holding up." Praise God, that's right. And so they that are steadfast will never fall. Now I say, secondly, they that are steadfast will never forget.
Amen.
I like to sing that song, "I Never Shall Forget That Day."
Amen.
When all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Bless His wonderful name.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Never forget the Lord's deliverance. In Deuteronomy 6, He's been giving them, Moses has been writing and lecturing them on the Word of God. How they're supposed to teach it to their children and be diligent in doing that and keep the Word of God. Bind it up around their heart. Teaching them that Word of God. And in verse number 12 of that chapter, the Bible said, "Then beware," after being taught the Word of God, "beware, beware," we're mad here, "lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Anybody in here forgotten the Lord and where He brought you from? I tell you, if you're abiding in Him, you ain't forgotten. How can we forget that day? When the Holy Ghost conducted our soul up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morning. The Holy Ghost of God conducted our soul in the footprints that the Savior had made 2,000 years before us. Amen. And there we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but it's Christ that liveth in us. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. Have you forgotten? I'm going to tell you, I would never have believed it if God hadn't written it in Peter, where it said, a man that doesn't do these things is blind and can't see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You realize that unless you're abiding in Christ. Now, I didn't say that we're in Christ. I said abiding there. There's a difference. It's almost the same thing, but there's a difference. But if we're abiding there, that it's possible for you to forget where God brought you from and forget that you were purged from your old sins. Who keeps us in remembrance? Somebody said, well, it's the preaching of the Word of God. Half of you or three-fourths of you here forget what I preach 30 minutes from now.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost
Amen.
Won't never let you forget it.
Amen. Amen.
Not now, not at the bema seat of Christ, and if you're lost, not at the white throne. I don't know how people can forget, but they can. I hope I don't. Arthur Pink said, you better be careful of those people that's always bragging about how they're going to stand. That they're the very ones that will fall. So if you don't believe me, ask Peter when you get to heaven.
Right.
We better be careful.
Amen.
I might fall tomorrow. I don't want to. I'm telling you, it's highly possible. I sure don't want to forget where Christ brought me from.
Amen.
I don't want to forget His love and grace.
Amen.
His mercy and goodness. How wonderful He's been to old Brother Hall. How can we ever forget that?
Amen.
I don't want to forget the blood that He shed, the life that He gave, the pain, the suffering, the agony, the torment. That He suffered our hell for us.
Amen.
He suffered our Calvary for us.
Amen.
He suffered our Gethsemane for us.
Amen.
He suffered in His life for us. A lot of folks think He's suffering. Begin on the cross. Oh, no, He suffered from day one when He came out of the womb.
Amen.
All the way to Calvary. He suffered for you and I. And died alone.
Amen.
Numbered with transgressors. Hanging between two thieves. One railed on Him and the other and said, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom.
Amen.
Some said, if Thou be the Son of God, come down and we'll believe You.
Right.
And as He was dying, He said, Father, forgive them,
Amen.
For they know not what they do.
Right.
And He cried, I thirst. He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit, commit
Amen.
My spirit. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, He tasted a horrible death
Amen.
That we might be saved. How can we ever forget that and get
Amen.
Away from it? Oh, no. I don't want to be ashamed that He's coming. I don't know about you.
Yep.
I want to abide in Him and have confidence when He comes. Number two, we'll never forget the Lord's deliverance. We'll never forget the Lord's benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget
yep.
not. Oh, you got any benefits of the Lord?
Amen.
Surely you haven't forgotten them. And never forget the Lord's word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word.
Amen.
I wonder if we've hid God's word in our heart that we might not sin against
Amen.
It. I asked old Brother Paul Sisk. Paul was preaching out at Brother Shepherd's, and he quoted more scriptures and
A lot of men does that quote a lot of scriptures. I went up to him and I said, Brother Paul, how do you memorize all that scripture? He said, Preacher, when I worked after I got saved, he said, I'd take scripture and I'd hang one every week up in my on my mirror and said I'd memorize that verse of scripture. That week, going back and forth to work, he said, next week I'd hang another one. He said, at my work, he said, all done was sit there and run a little old press. He said, didn't have nothing to do, but just clunkety clunk. He said, I hung them scriptures up in front of me. He said, and I memorized them scriptures all day long, on the job, all day long. He said, I hit them in my heart. I remember them. And he said, they have stuck with me all these years. And I thought, my, how wonderful. That 30-some years ago, Brother Sis learned scripture that has not departed out of his heart, and he still knows them today. You don't have to worry about nobody like that. They're abiding in Christ, friend. That word's like an anchor. It'll hold you in that safe place. It'll hold you in that steadfast life. That word will. It'll hold you. It's like an anchor, boy. Keep you from drifting too far from the shore. And I want to say lastly, he that abides in Christ shall never faint. Somebody said, oh, I believe they will. Well, abiding in Christ, number one, overcomes adversity. If thou faint, the proverb writer said in 24:10, in the day of adversity, thy strength is small.
Amen.
If you faint in the day of adversity, when things are not right, and you faint. But now, here is one that goes beyond my comprehending. You remember Gideon, how Gideon, God gave him the 300 and began to pursue after the Midianites? And as he pursued the Midianites in chapter 8 and verse 4, it said, Gideon came to Jordan and passed over he and all, 300 men that were with him. Faint, yet pursuing. They didn't drop out, folks. They did better than marching up agony and misery. I'll guarantee you. Faint and yet pursuing. Jesus said, I would that men always would pray and not to faint. Yet they were faint and still pursuing the enemy. Now I'm going to tell you something. Listen carefully. I'm closing right here. There's Gideon chasing the enemy. You know what the problem is today? The enemy is chasing us. One of the four things that God gave David that happened to him for numbering the people in 2 Samuel, was to be pursued by your enemy, to run from him, in other words, to be chased by him for so long a period of time. And I'm telling you, it's a terrible thing for God's people to run from troubles. Even from run from the devil himself. Because if we'll draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us.
Amen.
If we'll resist the devil, he will flee from us.
Amen.
So we can remain steadfast in our troubles and trials and problems.
Yes, sir.
And not faint, and not fall,
Amen.
And not forget what God has done for us. Let's stand together.